Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Capping some of what this trip was about, and this is the first missions trip that our church has taken in many, many years. And God just did so much in and through our team, in and through our church as we prepared, as we went, and also as we come home. And my prayer is that today, as we share some of the stories, as we share about the process, that you would be challenged in your faith. Today, this is just called Just Say Yes. Just say yes to God. Just say yes to what he's calling you to do today. And when we choose to partner with him, when we say yes to him, that the possibilities truly are endless for what God would want to do in your life and through your life this week. So the NYC trip, like I said, if you've never been to New York, it's crazy. So I've been to New York 3 times. And each time I've gone, it's been a drastically different experience. The first time I was there working, interning for Fashion Week. I went to fashion shows all week long. I stayed in Manhattan. We ate at really nice restaurants the whole week. It was great. And the entire week, I just heard about how terrible Brooklyn was and how terrible Queens was. And so in my head, I kind of have these stereotypes, like, yeah, I would never go there, you know. And then a couple years later, I came back to New York City, and I was on a mission trip. I led a mission trip with Master's Commission. And, you know, little did I know that we would be staying in Brooklyn for the entire week. And I'm like, yes, Brooklyn, like, this is so cool. It's up and coming. You know, God is doing some really incredible things here. The community is turning around. It's a much safer place to live now. You know, I'm always going to stay in Brooklyn. And then this last week, we get there, and we get settled into the Upper West Side of Harlem. And when I told the parents of the students who were going on this trip that we were staying in Harlem, I feel like I might have given a couple of mini heart attacks, because Harlem in the past has been a really notorious area of NYC. When we got there, it's crazy how much the city in that area has turned around, and there's so many awesome things that are happening in that community to really help them recover from years and years of crazy gang violence and rampant drug use. And you can see the effects that that has had, but God is doing an amazing work in Harlem. And much of our time this last week was spent up in that area. And for me now, I'm like, I'm always going to stay in Harlem, you know? I just love Harlem. So who knows? Maybe next time I go back, it'll be a different neighborhood. But it was just an incredible time. And about a year ago now, God started putting on my heart just this idea of going on a missions trip. I just really felt like that was something that as a church we needed to do. It was a huge part of my experience, you know, my kind of ministry background. I worked for like a ministry training program called Master's Commission for years, and got to go on a whole bunch of different missions trips while I was on staff with them. And every time that I went on a missions trip, not only did we get to make an impact on wherever we were serving, whether that was an international trip, I got to go to Amsterdam, I got to go to Brussels, and then also stateside. I've been in Oklahoma City, Salt Lake, LA, and, you know, God didn't impact where we went. But I felt like every time we would go and we would say yes to God, that ultimately God would do something incredible in us as a team, in me as a person that was going and partaking and pouring myself out. And I wanted us as a church to begin to have that for ourselves as well. I wanted us not just to give, because this is such a giving church, in our monetary ways, and not just to give when we serve at the food pantry locally, because that's a huge aspect of what we do, serving and being involved in local missions, but also to be a church that's willing to go, to say yes to God and say, okay, you know, this is home, but God, I believe that sometimes you call us for different seasons. Sometimes it's short, sometimes it's long, to go and serve a different community. And I just knew that I had been so blessed and challenged by that, that I wanted that for all of you as well. So it was crazy because at the same time, Pastor Craig had also been thinking about that. And he knew that as a Master's Commission alum, that was part of my job when I was working for them, was to work on these different trips. And so we got together one day and said, hey, let's go on a missions trip. Let's do it. Let's take that step. So I started praying about where to go. And for me, New York, most people would not say this, but New York is a place that I'm very comfortable. I grew up doing a lot of the arts and different things. I love New York. It's just like this really stimulating, energetic place to be. And so for me, I'm like, that's where we should go. That's where I felt like my heart was being led. And so we began to prepare. I began to contact ministries that I had worked with before in New York and began to just see where God was going to take this. We set things in motion after I had gotten a hold of the New York Dream Center, which is a massive ministry that impacts all of Manhattan and some of the other boroughs as well. And it all came to pass this last week. We left on July 29th, and we spent 7 days intentionally serving the city of New York. 20.2 million people in New York City. That's 7 million more people than LA. So New York City has the most people out of any city in the US. LA has the second. They have 7 million more than the second place city. It is just a jam-packed place. This true melting pot of all different kinds of cultures, nationalities, upbringings, economic well-being. There's just all sorts of different people in New York, and it's for that reason that I love being there, because there's just such the sense of, I'm just me, and I can just do my thing, I can just be who God created me to be, because it's a city of individuals. I walked 60.6 miles in the last 7 days in New York. It was a lot of walking. Our team knows this well. I broke in a pair of tennis shoes well this last week. There were over 30 PB&J sandwiches that were consumed, over 20 slices of New York pizza, over 210 Subway swipes. We took the Subway everywhere when we were there. There were hundreds of granola bars and hot dogs handed out in these different neighborhoods. There were three neighborhoods served. We served, like I said, mostly in Harlem, but we also served in Chelsea. And then on the east side of Harlem as well, there's definite different feel. We also served some in the Upper West Side, which is a really wealthy community. We were kind of all over the place. It was awesome. So three neighborhoods served and hundreds of people that we poured ourselves out to. Hundreds of people that we loved on this last week. And it was incredible. Like I said, I'm going to share a little bit more specifically about what we did. But I really prayed going into this trip that God would just give our team, because there were just six of us that went, four teenagers from here at Casper Faith, myself. Then there was a female chaperone, one of my good friends from Omaha, that was able to come and help me out as well. But I just prayed that God would use us in really personal ways with these different ministries. So we partnered with a church called The Grace Place on the Upper East Side with Pastor Stephen and Priscilla Paramala. They're an incredible family there that are just there serving and pouring themselves out. And we got to serve them really personally, which was special. It was something that we as a small group of six that we could do really uniquely. Then we also got to serve with the Dream Center as well and get to do some of the projects that they often have. They have these huge teams that come through of 30, 40, 50 people. And a lot of times with that many people, you can't really do some of the little things because it's not a very effective use of people. So we're able to come in and do some of the jobs that they hadn't been able to do for a long time. And I just thought that was really special that God would get to use us in such a unique way. So on Monday, we did flyering. We passed out granola bars in the Upper West Side, which I said earlier, it's a really affluent area of New York City. The average rate for rent is, I think, the cheapest. One bedrooms that I saw were almost $2,200 a month for kind of the low end one bedroom there. It's extremely expensive to live there. But Pastor Stephen and Priscilla, they have such a heart for those people. And so we went around, we were kind of in the area of Columbia University, if you're familiar with that area. And we just handed out granola bars to people coming off of the subway, and we had these little flyers that just said a little bit about their church. And at first, I think our team was scared to death of that, you know, coming in direct contact with really busy, crazy fast New Yorkers and handing out these granola bars. But it was awesome. People were so friendly and inviting, and we had some really incredible conversations that day. So that was awesome. We worked in their storage unit as well as the church. They needed some help reorganizing that. On Tuesday, we were able to do some really personal stuff for the Paramala family, just in their apartment, some things that they hadn't gotten around to do for a long time. And that was awesome. Then we went to a park that afternoon, and we had a bracelet outreach, which they set up a table with beads everywhere, and they just invite these kids, and most of the time they're nannies, to come and make a bracelet, and we were able to share with them as well and get the word out about their church. On Wednesday, we partnered up with the Dream Center. We went deep into Harlem for the Harlem Outreach, and we did food distribution in some of the projects, and we did face painting on some of the kids there. And then we were able that night, which was a really special thing, it was one of our girls' ideas who was on the team, to babysit for the Paramala family. It had been a long time since, as a couple, they'd been able just to go out and have a date night. So I said, hey, we raised a little bit of extra money. We want to take you and your wife, let you go out on a date. We're going to pay for your dinner. We're going to watch your kids and just pour on out into them and love on them. And that was just such a huge, like I said, just a unique opportunity that we had, because we were such a small team, to be able to really impact the people who are there week in and week out. On Thursday, we went down to Chelsea, which is another really affluent neighborhood in the south of Manhattan. We do what's called Adopt-A-Block. And it was really interesting. I was sharing with one of the guys from the Dream Center that out of the whole experience for me, the most eye-opening was working in Chelsea. Because like I said, I'd been there years ago working in fashion and had gotten to go to a bunch of shows. And Chelsea's just a really, really upscale neighborhood for the most part. But what's interesting is that the New York Housing Authority, they have these project housings in different neighborhoods all over New York City. So you'll be walking down, you know, the streets in Chelsea, and there's all these amazing restaurants, and there's the High Line, there's these, you know, huge buildings, really nice buildings, that out of nowhere, for just a couple of blocks, there'll be this project housing area. And it was heartbreaking for me to see that in the middle of such great wealth, there was such deep poverty in the middle of that. Right across the street, there was such a deep need. And it just reminded me that it doesn't matter where you're from or where you're at and what kind of capacity your life is lived in, no matter how much money or little money you have, that there is always a deep need for Jesus. And that was incredible, just to be able to be down in that neighborhood that most people probably overlook, because if you're familiar with Chelsea and New York, you know that that's a really upscale neighborhood. But to see that because of that, there often are so many people overlooked. So we're able to come in, and it was really incredible to me. I did not know this going into this week, but it was a really a big week for the ministries that we partnered with. They were actually doing the first VBS in Chelsea that they had done since the beginning of the Dream Center in 2008. It had been something that God had placed on their hearts when they first came there that year. And God had just not made a way for that to happen until this last week. So it was a huge week for the Dream Center as well, and we were able to step in and really help them with something that God was bringing to fruition that he had planted in their hearts 9 years ago. So that was just really unique. And then on Friday, we were able to help with the storage unit. If there's something that I'm a little bit familiar with, I don't always get to help very much with helping hands, but I'm here at the church on Tuesday, and I see all the food that they bring in. And it's a huge operation. Well, the Dream Center does that as well, and they got the largest donation that they have in the entire last year this last week. And because their interns are all out for the summer, they were definitely kind of low on manpower. So we were able to help receive the shipment of food and different goods that they give out to these people in the projects. And that just really blessed them because they told us over and over, thank you so much for being here. If you weren't here this week, we would have been doing this all day today. And we knocked it out in just a few short hours in the morning. It was awesome. And then yesterday, our last morning, we were able to help with kind of the last day of VBS there in Chelsea and do some food distribution as well. So it was a really action-packed week, as you can tell. We squeezed in as much sightseeing as possible. We got to go to a Broadway show that was incredible. I mean, especially for me as a theater person, I just was in heaven. It was really crazy. One quick personal story. As many of you know, I'm a dance teacher on the side here in Casper. I work for 307 Dance Academy. And we were standing in line to get into this theater. We're in Times Square. I mean, there are literally thousands and thousands of people on the streets on Sunday afternoons, crazy busy time because a lot of the theaters do matinees. So we're standing in line getting in to this theater. And I kid you not, my boss from 307 Dance Academy here in Casper, Wyoming, walks right next to me. And I was like, what? Why are you in New York out of millions and millions of people in the city right now? Our paths crossed. It was so crazy. And then just a couple of days later, I saw an old friend from Nebraska that happened to be in New York the same time as well. It was just crazy. Just some of the little connections that I believe God put into place. And that was something that I had prayed for as we prepared for the trip, that God would really go before us relationally. And we just saw that God moved in those ways time and time again. I'm so proud of the team. This is not about me just telling stories today about what I did and what I got to do in New York. Because really, my biggest responsibility on this trip was just to help our four students have a really incredible week. And you would have been completely flabbergasted and so proud of our four teens as they served and served and served and poured themselves out day after day after day when we were tired and we had long days. I'm just so proud of them and so proud that they said yes to God on this trip. I'm so proud that in the really tough moments, I remember one day we were in the Upper East Side of Harlem, which is a really rough neighborhood. And we had to hike all the way from the pastor's house in the Dream Center. They do a lot of their storage in that neighborhood in the basement of the pastor's house. So we had taken all of this stuff and hiked. It was probably 3/4 of a mile to the project housing that we were working in that day. And they were heavy tables. They were giant boxes, water bottles. They go and they bring all kinds of baked goods and stuff, and they were heavy, heavy boxes. And we went and we served, and we did that. We were, you know, feeling good. And then it was like at the end of that, we realized, oh, we have to take all of this stuff back as well. We have to walk through these streets, crazy busy streets, with all of these supplies. And I remember somebody said something along the lines of, this is really hard. And I encouraged our team to be honest in the moments that were hard. They don't have to fake it because the experience is meant to stretch you. It really is. So we're human. I knew that it was going to be difficult. So I said, it's okay. You can be honest, you know, when it's a difficult time. And I heard one of our students say, you know, this is really, really hard, but I'm willing to do it again. I'll go again. We'll do it again. And I was, you know, I had this giant table on my back that I'm going through. I'm like, yeah, like, exactly. If I can do this once, I can do it twice. Like, we can serve this and take this day to completion. And I'm so proud, again, just like I said, that they said yes to the Holy Spirit's leading. And today, that's what I want to talk to all of you about. I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes encouraging you and challenging you as we're coming back from this fresh experience. And yes, it was tangible. It's easy to kind of quantify saying yes to God when we go on a special trip for it. But as I was preparing and thinking about, how can I share this with our home family? How can I spread what we've experienced here with, you know, where my heart really is? Because my heart isn't really in New York City. It's here in Casper, Wyoming. I'm like, okay, these people matter, and I'm so glad that I got to come and serve and pour my heart out. But how can I bring this back to the people that I'm committed to, the people that I am involved with week in and week out? And just that phrase of just say yes, just continue to reverberate in my heart. That's what you can do, Josh. That's what you can share with them. Encourage them just to say yes to God in whatever you might be doing this week. It's as simple as that. When we choose to obey and say yes to God, the sky is the limit. It was really simple outreaches this week. We did not do anything glamorous. We did not even do anything complicated. A lot of times it was, we need to move all of these boxes from this side of the room to the other side of the room so that our daughter can have a birthday party in this room tonight. That was literally one of the things that we did. We're like, okay, sweet. Like, I did not think that that was what I was going to be doing today when I woke up. But I am willing, God, I'm going to say yes to you today. And I want to encourage you to not overcomplicate this as well today. It's as simple as recognizing the opportunity in front of you and choosing to obey and say yes to God in that. So if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Genesis 6? 14 through 22. It's going to be on the screens as well. I'm going to be honest, I stole some of this from a blog. Some of it is original, though, as well. In Genesis 6, 14 through 22, it says, "So make yourself an ark of cypress wood." We're talking about Noah here. "Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a rift for it, leaving below the rift an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and food for them." Noah did everything just as God commanded. I think sometimes I read over the story and, you know, it's one of those childhood Bible stories that, you know, I feel like growing up, the focus was always on the animals. I'm like, wow, that would be so crazy, you know, two of every animal, wow. Like, but as I've grown older, the significance of the story really switches from that kind of fairy tale sort of a mindset to seeing Noah, and if we see his life and the culture that he was living in, he was one of the few faithful in contact with God, serving him, and God gives him this command, this outlandish, crazy command It says you haven't seen rain, but rain is coming, and you need to build this ark. And it needs to be really specific, and all of this is going to happen. And you just need to know that, you know, something is coming. Noah just says, that's crazy, you know? He had to have said that. I mean, let's be honest. He was human, just like all of us. He's probably like, wow, okay, that is a crazy request. But, yes, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to build this ark. I'm going to go through with it. As we know, you know, the rest of the story goes on. The flood comes, and God, of course, brings the rainbow, says, never again will I destroy, you know, the human race again or whatever, and they go on to prosper after that. Noah and his family are saved. But the important part of that story for me is Noah and how he said yes. So Noah said yes when God asked him to build the ark. Abraham said yes when God asked him to sacrifice his only son. Joseph said yes when God asked him to forgive his brothers who beat and sold him into slavery. Moses said yes when God told him to go to Pharaoh and ask him to let the Israelites go. Rahab said yes when asked to hide the Israelite spies and risk her life and the lives of her family. David said yes to God when God asked him to fight the giant Goliath with only a slingshot and a few stones. Esther said yes when Mordecai told her to go to the king to save her people. Daniel said yes when God told him not to bow down and worship other idols. Mary said yes when the angel told her she would carry God's son, Jesus. The disciples said yes when Jesus asked them to leave everything behind and follow him. And Paul said yes when God asked him to deliver the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles. From time to time on this trip, I just reminded our team, that's what we're here to do, just to say yes to God. We're not responsible for the outcome. We're not responsible for how anyone replies to us, whether they take this granola bar or hot dog or not. We're just responsible just to say yes when God asks us to move. So what do we need to do to say yes to God? What does that look like for us? One, it means that we need to be ready. Noah was just living his life in a way that was prepared for whatever God had for him. We look at his life, like I said, we see his faithfulness. We see that he was consistent in a culture that was tainted. Even though that culture all around him was corrupt and failing, he chose to live above that. He was prepared for what God would want to say to him, and he stayed true to what God had said, and because of that, he was ready when God called him. So that's the first step. We need to be ready to say yes. Two, we need to be listening. Noah was undoubtedly a busy guy, but despite all of the craziness of the world around him, he was still able to hear God. If you look into our different examples of Bible characters that heard God, one of the unifying factors in those stories is that they were all close enough to him to hear him. We need to be listening and investing into our relationship with the Lord, because that is what tunes our ear to his voice. It's what tunes our ear to what he would want to say to us. It was because that Noah was living intentionally that he didn't miss the call. He was listening for it. And then thirdly, we need to be open to what God has to say. And I think that's the hardest one for us, because sometimes we think that we have an idea for what God would want us to say. We have a preference for what we would like for him to say. But what God told Noah to do was crazy. It was hard, and it didn't make sense. I'm quite sure that he was probably really confused and could have made up a million different excuses as to why he shouldn't or couldn't do what God had asked him to do. But he was open to what God wanted to say, to say and stepped out in obedience. So what will it mean for us? In looking at these different examples that I listed, I think we can conclude three things about saying yes to God. That one, it might be hard and it might be unpopular and it also might be uncomfortable, but it is always worth it. For me, what's awesome about obedience to God, it's just that I'm not responsible for the outcome. I said that earlier already. There is a no pressure kind of a system with this. It's just say yes, and God's going to take care of the rest. And for me, I like that, that I'm just responsible for one thing. As long as I'm in line and I'm like, yes, God, whatever you have, it might be hard, it might be confusing, it might not even make sense, but I'm going to say yes to you because I know that when I do that, you partner with my obedience and you bring the outcome. So I'm going to bring the team up. Wouldn't be fair for me to hog all of the time today. They're just going to share just briefly, each of them, something this week that they said yes to God on. You guys can go ahead and come. Go ahead and come on. Come on, come on. Something that they had to say yes to. And what that meant for them as well after that. So who wants to go first? Preston. It's you. Get it. Oh boy. Say your name too.
Okay. I'm Preston Folkert, and for Friday, when we were working with the Dream Center, moving the store, all their storage equipment and the donations they got, I know it was really hard for all of us, but we had gone through a week of late nights and early mornings, so we were really tired to begin with. And they're like, okay, we have 16 pallets with huge boxes that we need to cram into a little storage unit. And we need to go to a big warehouse, go up an elevator, down narrow hallways, and bring it in there. And we're all like, okay, cool, we could do that. And I had never done anything like that before. So when they said, okay, we're done with 10, now we got the big six that we got to bring up. We're like, it was only me and Drew, who was one of the people on staff, were bringing these up while they were loading another truck. And we were trying to go fast so we can go to the adopt-a-blocks on time. And we get in the elevator, and we had the biggest one we had stuck in a little groove in the elevator. And it took us around 10 minutes to get it out. And it was really hard for him and I to just keep going with the heavy loads, but we said yes, and with God's help, got it done in time. Yeah.
So Josh went a little bit into detail about the adopt-a-blocks. Basically, for all you that don't know, adopt-a-block is we get a whole bunch of bread donations, hygiene items. What else is there? We bring tables, water, all this different stuff to parks, and we set up and we distribute all the things. And one of the hardest things about the adopt-a-block, I thought, was just connecting and understanding the people. There were numerous, just countless nationalities, backgrounds, and there were language barriers. And there were several times throughout the events, someone would come up, tug on my shirt, or tap on my shoulder, and start speaking to me in a language I didn't know. And so it was up to me, even though I didn't speak that language, to meet their needs, whether it be praying for them or understanding what brand of cookies they wanted. So another thing was a lot of people, like, they snuck extra things or, like, stole things, and that made the work even harder. But this, however, helped me grow and made me realize that no matter what a person has done, where they come from, that God has a plan for them, and through us, he's accomplishing his plan. And God loves everyone the same, regardless of their past. So why shouldn't we love everyone the same? 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And God just really challenged me this week to love everyone and plant that seed. And just, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, I'm Katie Owen, and the hardest thing for me this week was more of like an internal struggle, because I'm kind of the team introvert, and this is a little bit difficult for me, but the part I had the most trouble with was just our very first outreach was when we were handing out granola bars by the subway station and handing out church flyers for the Grace Place. And it was pretty daunting because New York City doesn't exactly have a reputation for the nicest people. So I wasn't too keen on like putting myself out there and facing like rejection or rudeness, but I was like, God got us out here. He's made all this possible. So now it's time to just suck it up and say yes. But so, and through that, like, we were able to do just little miracles, like maybe hand out food to someone who wouldn't have anything else to eat that day, or to give them that opportunity to connect with a church that otherwise they wouldn't have exposure to. And just maybe God will, like, sow that seed and work in their lives, and they'll have that to fall back on and find a relationship with Jesus. And it was just amazing to be able to work and do that in people's lives, despite, like, how challenging it is.
What's up, guys? It's super early. Yeah, so we got in at 2 last night, and Josh is like, "We're gonna need you to prepare something for tomorrow," and I'm like, "Okay, sure." And he's like, he wanted us to pick like one thing that was a challenge, and I was like, "Okay, wait, one? Okay, I guess I can pick one." But so I was like thinking, because of course the week was super challenging and amazing at the same time. But I was like, okay, I have to pick one thing. Let's see. And so, like, just from the beginning, there was a lot. Like, the first thing, I got stopped at security, and they took my peanut butter jar. What's up with that? But then, of course, there was early mornings. And obviously, I'm not a huge morning person, but I'm here. So, and so I think probably the most challenging thing was, like, physically for me. I think, well, there was a lot of, like, injuries, I guess, this week. Like, I got burnt by an iron. And when we were moving the stuff at the warehouse, we had to, like, pull these huge sound equipment, like, boxes. They're probably, like, this big and, like, that wide. And so we had to pull them up onto, I don't know, like the lift for the truck. And so Katie and I are like, oh, this is super heavy. And we're like, we got this. And then so we like pulled it up, and I didn't move my ankles back like fast enough because there was not a lot of room. And I pulled it, and I like cut my ankles kind of. And I like stopped, like all feeling in my feet was like gone. And I, like, walked off, and I was like, oh, this is not good. And so I, like, it was the craziest, like, most pain, like, I've felt in a long time. And I felt like someone put their ears over my, or my, their hands over my ears, and I could not, like, see very well. And I, like, almost fell over. And then, like, everyone came and, like, surrounded me and, like, got me water and food. And then it was just super challenging to walk the rest of the day and the rest of the trip. I'm glad it was towards the end, but, and they're still pretty swollen. I had the worst cankles, let me tell you. It was not good. But I think it was really awesome that people were still, like, supportive, and I still, you know, was like, I'm here, and, like, I know that there's going to be opposition, but I'm not going to, like, let my legs stop me. Like, we're here. Let's go. And so I think that when I did that, and I mean, of course, got, like, lots of help and piggyback rides, but I think that was super awesome that we could all, like, rise up and just overcome that. And I think it was, you have to walk everywhere, so it was challenging, but I was proud of myself for, you know, still going and being there and still carrying things, even though I was like, this is so hard. But, and I just wanted to emphasize, like, how much our team grew. Like, you guys didn't see, but it's insane, like, how much we grew. And, like, it's been, like, such an amazing week. And we've grown all so much. And I just wanted to say it was such a blessing to travel with you guys. And we made such a big impact. Even though we, like, you know, did little things, we still were there for the community. And sorry, I'm talking a lot. It's kind of a thing. But I think that there is such a big impact to be made. And we didn't even go into a church once, you know. And I think that we're so lucky as a congregation to have God and to have the love of Jesus in our lives. And some people have never even heard, like, Jesus loves you. And they haven't heard, like, go follow your dreams, because we have such amazing resources here. And they have nothing. So I just want to encourage you guys to go and say yes, because someone might need it. And that Jesus does love you, and they love everyone, and he loves everyone. And it's so important that they hear that and to realize how lucky we are to be here and to have food and to have cookies after service. It's awesome. But, and I wanted to say thank you for your prayers and for your support. So, okay, I'm done.
That's awesome. Yes, give it up for them. They did awesome this week. All right, you guys can sit down. So in closing, Grace said something really important. And so did Katie, along those lines of, I don't feel like I am this, but I'm here. And I just think that's such a huge thing, that God is going to bring us to different places in our lives. And like I said, it's easy for us to kind of look back on this week and say, oh, God did this and God did this, you know, because we had 7 days of intentional ministry. But one thing that I know in my life is that God uses the little things and the off weeks just as much as he uses the missions trip weeks, just as much as he uses the obvious and the big times. And that's why I wanted to share this with you. Not so that, you know, we could say, oh yeah, God, you know, did this awesome thing. And of course I wanted to share with you because we were there as an extension of you. But I wanted to encourage you in your own lives to be looking for opportunities, even if it's little things. So much of the ministry that we did this last week, it was just the little things. But God came through time and time again in the little opportunity that we had to say yes, to obey. God did big things. I saw, man, this is going to be the tough part for me. I saw Grace this week wipe bird poop off of a little boy that we were talking to that didn't know that, you know, there were pigeons everywhere. But I saw her take a moment of compassion just to wipe him off and be like, oh, I didn't want you to go through the rest of the day, because he was unaware of it. I saw Katie move this rickety old cart for at least a mile without ever once complaining about how awkward it was. I saw Caleb handing out packs of gum and church flyers, even though I know that that was totally out of his comfort zone. I saw Preston go above and beyond time and time after, over and over again, sweeping the floor, like I said, for a birthday party for a kid that we would never meet. And we weren't even required to. We just offered, okay, we're down in this basement. Let me sweep this out so that you have a clean place to walk around as well. And it floored me, not because I'm like, wow, we're such great people, but because it was just in those little moments of saying yes to God that God was able to do the most powerful things. And you know what? God has the same kind of opportunities for you this week. You don't need to go all the way to New York City to say yes to God. So I'd like everyone just to bow their heads this morning as we get ready to close and move on with the rest of our day. I know that today in all of our lives, there is undoubtedly something that God might be asking you to do. It might be big. It might be out of your comfort zone, but it could also be something really small that you just know that you need to say yes to, that God is challenging you to say yes to. Maybe that's stepping into a new season or reaching out to someone at work, or maybe it's to say yes the next time that we go on a missions trip. But I want to encourage you to say yes. Because when we do that, we intentionally step into a place that lets God do what he does best, which is to exponentially grow our offering, our giving of time and of service, and to do a massive thing so much greater than what we could have even imagined. So today I want to encourage you to say yes to what God might be asking you to do. Then maybe you're here this morning and you're hearing all of this for the first time. I was floored in New York City about how many people had no kind of context for what we were doing there, serving, even the idea of church. There might be somebody here today that you're hearing about God and his love for you for the first time. And I want you to just say yes to him today. It's really simple. Saying, yes, God, I need a savior. Yes, God, I want to receive your love and your forgiveness. Yes, God, I want to serve you with my life. So maybe that's your yes today. And if that's you today, I would encourage you just to do that on your own. I'd love to make myself available. I know Pastor Todd is available. Any of our church board members, we'd love to talk with you about that decision of saying yes to God for the first time. But whatever it might be, I just want to encourage you today, just in your heart, to say yes to what he would want you to do.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.